The Daily Connect Podcast.
It's Tuesday, the 20th of November, 2018, and it's Stephen Scott here with you on the Daily Connect podcast. Great to have your company. Now, let's turn our attention to our big story of the day, and that is around airport assistance. You might have heard us talking on the show about Gatwick Airport and their assistance staff walking out in a row over pay. That strike lasting 3 days, and there's due to be more strike action next month. But in the meantime, amongst all of that, we have been talking to Ken Reid, former chair of RNIB Scotland, about his experience of using airport assistance, and he joins us back on the podcast here. Hi to you, Ken.
Good morning.
Tell me about your experience of using airport assistance and how you came to find out about it and how you ended up using it and your thoughts on it generally.
So I've flown a fair bit solo. And have utilised assistance services. Going back to when, at the time when I first started flying regularly, the assistance was provided by the airline, and they would be very, you know, one of the check-in staff would take you through, and everything was hunky-dory. Then they outsourced that to providers, and they would then whiz you through, so you'd have to go and report into the provider after you'd checked in, which is a little bit of an extra step in the process, but they'd whisk you through and get you onto the plane and all would be fine. And then similarly, at the other end, you get rescued off the plane and taken to a place of safety. And most times I've used it, it's worked fine. But like all of these things, there are gremlins in the system that can creep in every so often, and things do break down. So, you know, there's been some very highly publicised issues, particularly for wheelchair users, has been publicised a lot lately of people whose wheelchairs don't make it to the same destination or at the same time, and they're kind of left stranded, chap having to drag himself through a terminal because his wheelchair wasn't there. Our situation is different when we can't see, but it's still we have challenges. So I've experienced some good ones, and I've experienced some downright awful ones.
Have you had the wheelchair situation?
I have had the wheelchair situation, yes.
And for those who don't know what that means, I probably should explain. So, you know, if you're blind or partially sighted, it is not uncommon for you to be offered a wheelchair when you come off an aircraft. And that is a fairly common occurrence.
I was nearly refused permission to fly.
Oh, as a result of saying no to the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you felt you've almost felt you were compelled to take the offer of it?
They were trying to. The first time it ever happened to me, I was so shocked. I sat down and was trundled through the airport feeling like a bit of a lemon and a bit of a fraud that I was being forced into this wheelchair. But the next time it happened, I was ready for it, and I said no. And they said, no, you have to. And I said, no, I do not have to. I can walk. You know, I'm perfectly capable of walking. You're humiliating me by making me go in a wheelchair. And I was quite assertive, as I've been known to be, and they basically said I was being rude and obstructive, and which I'm not, generally. And they said, no, if you continue to behave like this, we're not going to let you fly.
And, wow.
Which was pretty extreme. And but eventually, you know, it all calmed down. And a different person turned up with a wheelchair for me to go in, and I politely said to him, no, I can walk. Could you just leave the wheelchair here and I'll take your arm? And he said, that's fine. And off we went. So I didn't use the wheelchair. It was quite close.
Very interesting, yeah. Mm. I mean, obviously it's a service which a lot of people use. I use it and you use it, and others who have mobility impairments as well as sight impairments will use it. You know, what do you think about, you know, passengers who are blind or partially sighted travelling through Gatwick today, and obviously there are plans for future strikes as well. What's your thoughts on having to face the airport without assistance?
I couldn't do it. There's no way I could get through an airport without assistance. So if I don't know what the arrangements Gatwick have put in place are, the duty of the responsibility to facilitate it is the airlines, and they have chosen to outsource it to a third party. The third party is then having an industrial dispute with its workers, and that's, you know, they're perfectly entitled to do that, but the airline still has a duty to its customers. So the airline has to pick up that responsibility and basically return to what I was describing as the the previous situation before third parties were involved at all, where somebody from the check-in staff of the airline would guide you through to the plane, and similarly at the other end would take you off. And I always thought that actually worked a lot smoother. I preferred it, but I can see that maybe they felt it was more expensive to do it that way, and outsourcing it was a better option across the piece. But I sincerely hope that the airlines in Gatwick have put some alternative arrangement in place for operations today and on the other days when the strikes are going to happen. Edinburgh Airport has actually done something quite innovative just recently. The Welcome app, the idea of that is that they will be notified when a person with a disability is arriving, either airside or landside. So you're arriving for the outward bound journey, and they'll be notified so they can meet you off your prior journey, or off the tram or off the bus, however you've arrived at the airport, and then they'll help with getting you through to the. So this is better than the old system, because they're taking you from when your immediate arrival at the airport through to check-in, then through to the gate, and it's all great, and that's wonderful. So it's an app that notifies them that you're arriving. You have to book into it, but and on the screen, it's not just for people with visual impairment. On their screen, when they see that Ken Reid is arriving, it'll say Ken Reid is blind, and he will be a long cane user, he doesn't have a guide dog, and then they'll be prompted by some regular things about how you go about guiding a blind person. So you offer your elbow, don't grab them, that sort of stuff. But if it's a wheelchair user, they'll maybe give some notes about how to service a wheelchair user, or if it's somebody with hearing loss, or whatever the condition is, they'll be notified as before that person arrives. So regardless of what sort of formal training may be done, immediately the person is about to arrive, they'll get a prompt and a reminder of the best ways of supporting that person through the airport. It sounds like a great initiative, and it's early days for it. I've had a chat with the guy who's developed it, and I'm quite impressed by it, to be honest.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. Thank you for that, Ken. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on assistance. And if you've had good experience or bad experience of using assistance at airports, do tell us about it. Have you had the wheelchair problem? Well, get in touch if you have and tell us about it. Share your story, and the rest of us will know that it's part of life. You know, it doesn't just happen to you. Get in touch, radio@rnib.org.uk.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio. Now, coming up this Friday, it's the start of Black Friday season, I think it's fair to say. 23rd is officially Black Friday Day, but of course, companies will do it whenever they want. So you'll see events happening this week and then next week and probably all the way through December as well. With me to talk about some online tips for this period of time as a visually impaired person, really important to make sure you stay safe online so you can get the best deals, but also make sure you don't lose all your money to fraudsters. Madeline Mann is here from RNIB. Hello, Madeline.
Hello.
So what can you do to stay safe online? I mean, you know, one of the big things that we hear about a lot is stay safe online. But that sounds to me quite awkward when you're visually impaired, is it?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit awkward when you hear all these different websites and all these lovely little deals you can follow, and you're not quite sure, is this company on the market since quite a while? Is it secure to buy from them? So what I do to feel secure a little more is I connect everything I do with my PayPal account. And PayPal is quite good in, if something wasn't to be secure, you can get your money back.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. So the PayPal, I've not used that for a long time. Is that a fairly accessible setup? I mean, if you were... So for people who don't understand what PayPal is, you're essentially putting your card details into PayPal and then using the PayPal account, which doesn't share your card details. Is that right?
Exactly. So you don't need to bother about your card number and your source code and the three-digit security code. And for some people, it's easier to use that when checking out. And in my view, it's more secure as well, because you can get in touch with PayPal if you think you're being there's some fraud involved. So PayPal is an app you would have on your smartphone or tablet or a website you're being directed to when clicking the buy via PayPal button when checking out.
PayPal for a long time for me was always linked to eBay. Whenever you would buy from eBay, it was
That's
always
true.
Suggested you would do that. So I guess it's just a natural extension that now PayPal has expanded that and now you can use it almost like a buying account, a bit like Apple Pay, perhaps?
A bit like Apple Pay, a bit like, yeah, exactly, a bit like Apple Pay or when you store. I mean, if I go shopping with Amazon or something, of course, I use my Amazon account where I have all my stuff securely stored. But if it's a website I don't know quite well, I like to go via PayPal because I feel that a little bit more secure.
So once you've decided what you're buying, I guess the challenge is knowing that where you're buying it from is a reputable supplier. Now, if we see Amazon, for example, there's an assumption there that if you buy something on Amazon, then, well, it's all good. But, of course, there are third-party suppliers that provide through Amazon as well. So do you even have to be careful with Amazon?
Well, I always look where I get my stuff from on Amazon. Is it Amazon Direct? Is it some third-party supplier? Is it, you know, what is it? Is it a private sale? And I would prefer it to come directly from Amazon because I just know there's not going to be any issue involved. But saying that, I've actually had issues with Amazon. And it's just wise to be always very careful. And there are telephone numbers online that you can find out if you were to have to ring Amazon because something has happened. I've had it all done to me. So it's just wise to know. Don't feel you can't speak to anyone if something is happening. You can ring Amazon and you can discuss things with them if something's gone wrong.
I purchased a necklace for my wife from Amazon and it arrived on her birthday. So it arrived on the day and I gave her the box and it was empty.
Nice that you say that.
No!
I bought loads of computer parts because I built my own computer at home and the SSD is quite expensive and the box was empty and it was empty once, then I returned it and it's a hell of a lot of a fuss to return something with Amazon. And then I got a second box and it was empty again.
it was
horrible, but yeah.
But obviously there are more retailers out there than just Amazon. I mean, that might be hard
Definitely.
To believe nowadays. You know, we're trying to encourage people, I guess, to use the high street a lot more as well. But, you know, of course, for visually impaired people, sometimes shopping online can be that bit easier. I certainly prefer doing that than facing the shops.
You have more choice if you do it online. Like the other day, you can sit whenever you want to sit and do that. And you can read all the details. I think Groupon is a quite nice place to have a look for deals. I'm sure they do Black Friday deals. I haven't looked into Black Friday deals that much on Groupon. But
I think
Amazon
everybody does them now, don't they? Everybody's doing
everybody,
Black Friday.
Everybody does them, yeah, that's true.
But it is, I mean, you're right. So there's Groupon, there's all these kind of voucher sites as well.
Exactly.
Essentially, there are so many places you can go online. There's anything that you can do. I mean, obviously, the retailers like Argos or Amazon or PC World or, you know, eBay or whatever, you know, these companies will have processes in place to make sure that everything is done properly. And, you know, you can be sure of those companies. But when it comes to those websites that you go to, maybe you've been sent to it from Google, say, and it sends you off to a company, you think, well, that is the greatest deal ever. You know, it's knocked 30 quid off something I was going to buy and it's just worth buying it. Then how can you know that that website is what it's saying it is? How do you know it's not a fraud?
Well, there's always a reviews button on there on the product you want to buy. And if there isn't a review of the product that you are supposed or about to buy, I would think a little. I would be a little bit like cautious. I'm always kind of, I'm not really reading all reviews, but I'm looking at least whether there are some reviews of products. And sometimes I do look, are they getting 4 or 5 stars? You know, otherwise they might not be that good. So always have a look whether some people recommend that website or whether there's a checkout securely button. So, I mean, these are the kind of things I would be looking out for and making sure you are on authorized websites or kind of secure websites.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a piece of advice years ago, which was always make sure the website you're on has a phone number and an address. But does that,
yeah,
even nowadays, does
really...
that does that still apply now? I mean,
does that not happen? I don't know. Often enough, you don't really have a phone number these days. You have an email address you can email it to. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if they have a phone number, that would be the best, isn't it?
Unless, of course, it's all set up as a fraud. This is, you don't know. This is the problem.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, yeah.
But it is interesting.
Speak to friends and family and ring our team. If you are unsure about a website, we can always have a look into things.
Or Google
for
it.
You.
Just, you know, Google the website name and maybe even review and see if someone can you know, because if you get, you know, utter fraud, don't go near, then, well, then you know. Because surely if and that's the thing, Google can be your real friend in this kind of situation. Or, you know, another search engine. But let's be honest, everybody uses Google. So, yeah, that's some really interesting stuff. I mean, you know, this time of year, we're all kind of buying online. We're all, you know, using our details and all the rest of it. So it is important that we stay safe. And I thank you for coming on and giving your tips. The PayPal idea is brilliant. I'm going to sign up to that because I think that's a great idea.
Oh, great, yeah.
Madeline,
and
man,
again, it uses things like your fingerprint or Face ID.
Yeah, on the phone.
So it is very secure.
Brilliant. Yeah. Madeline, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts on this.
Thank you.
And just before you go, if people want to get in touch with you, because of course you're part of the technology, is it still called Technology for Life team?
Yeah, Technology for Life, yeah.
And just before you go, for people who want to get in touch with you at the Technology for Life team, which is always advisable if you've got a technology question, and you know, and it could be about a website, it could be about the piece of kit that you're using. Get in touch with the experts. Madeline, how do people get involved and get in touch?
Yeah, just give us a call on 0207-391-2280 or ring RNIB's helpline on 0303-123-9999. Or you can always send us an email, send your email to TFL, that's for Technology for Life, TFL@rnib.org.uk.
Brilliant, Madeline. Thank you so much. Happy shopping.
Stay shopping,
safe
everyone.
Online.
The Daily Connect podcast.
Time now, though, for your views and what you've been saying about the Daily Connect over the past week or so. So, Chris, welcome again and tell us what you've been hearing.
Well, the big conversation obviously today was about the airport strikes that are taking place. Ken Reid was your guest today. We actually got in touch with Ken because he had said to us via Facebook, "Without the assistance team, I wouldn't be able to fly. I've had great experiences in several UK and overseas airports, and some dire ones too. I hope the airlines are putting an alternative arrangement in place to meet needs of passengers with special needs during this strike. We do want to hear about your experiences using these services. Do get in touch with us here at the Daily Connect. You can find us on Facebook at RNIB Radio or search for us on Facebook, sorry, at RNIB Radio. Oliver Kennett has also been in touch via Twitter. He's looking for a little bit of clarification, Stephen. So he's wondering if this strike means that blind people can't fly today. He thinks that sounds rather discriminative, though. If it's all workers, then he supports the strike.
Well, there's no answer as to what service will be available. However, I would imagine the airports themselves, airlines themselves, will take on that responsibility. I think if any blind person as a result of these strikes is left behind, it's not really good for the argument that they're trying to make.
Not at
I would
all.
Not think.
Nope.
So I imagine that airlines will take on that responsibility, I hope. But again, get in touch and tell us.
Absolutely. And of course, we launched our Daily Connect poll this week. The question this week is, with Black Friday, Stephen's favourite day of the year, approaching, we want to know, as a blind or partially sighted person, how have you generally found the experiences of online shopping? Now, Facebook and Twitter are both in the positive category, but quite different results. Facebook, 53% say they've found the online shopping experience positive to a 47% negative. But on Twitter, it's overwhelming. 86% say they've had a positive online shopping experience compared to 14% who say they've had a negative one. So we are still taking votes on our Daily Connect poll. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at RNIB Radio and Facebook. Just search for RNIB Connect Radio to put your views into our Daily Connect poll.
Fantastic. Chris, thank you for coming in with your views once again. And yeah, enjoy Black Friday when it comes.
Thank you very much. I know you will.
Yes, thank you for that, Chris. That is your views for this week. And if you've got anything you want to say about the programme, then do get in touch. radio@rnib.org.uk. And remember, as Chris was saying, the Daily Connect poll is available for you to go and take part in right now on Twitter and Facebook. Share your thoughts on your online shopping experiences. The Daily Connect is back tomorrow from 10, as always, on RNIB Connect Radio, Freeview 7:30, and online. And don't forget that we are also back here on the podcast just after 5. See you then.
The Daily Connect Podcast.